You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Elvis Kung Fu moves.
I need to keep in shape so you and I can go in the back room, distance apart, and do some workout here because I'm going to need something.
Well, with Doug closing the gyms,
yep,
right?
Yep.
We can't wear sleeveless shirts that Bill and Betsy got us because, you know, because Ed's guns are going to deteriorate. You know, he's got them pretty built
fast.
Up.
I'm an old guy, man. You don't want to see when they deteriorate.
As Hulk Hogan would say, I got these 21-inch pythons, bro.
Morning, Christy Simone.
Good morning, sweetheart.
Hey.
You just read the story about how the guy who owns Mountainside Fitness in Phoenix is going to sue the crap out of the governor.
Yeah.
Good for him.
5 hours notice. We're going to close. Just shut it all down again. Click, you know, just lock the doors, go home, send your 500 employees home, tell them sorry, Gov said so. You know what gets me? I'm sorry. One other thing while we're at it, because we didn't get to the story. And that is 1,300 faculty members at the U of A want the administration to stop its furlough plan to take effect tomorrow. Screw you people, okay? I'm working part-time since February, okay? We got people out of work like in tens and millions, okay?
Center of self-righteous, circle
Come
of self-righteousness,
on.
Right?
The professors at the U of A don't want to have to be furloughed anymore. They got like one day off every 4 weeks or something like that. Screw you. Join the civilization here.
So remember, That just stinks. So what's the average it didn't say in that story, no. Right? What's the average salary at the U of A, right? It's got to be
9,800.
Let's call it 90.
Okay.
The average Tucsonan makes $22,000.
Yeah. Shut up. You can furlough another 2 days, okay?
So here's the difference between the makeup of what makes up academia and other places, right?
And real life.
So remember when Gilbert Davidson was running Marana and the whole recession thing hit? And he put everyone in a room and said, look, there's two ways this can go with the lack of revenue. Mm. Either we're going to have to lay off, I don't know, 100 of your fellow employees, whatever the number was, or everyone's got to take a pay cut so everyone keeps their job and there's no layoffs. And the room was 100% vote, let's take a pay cut so everyone keeps their jobs.
Right.
And when things get better, and they did, and everyone got their money back, right? This is what the U of A, see the last sentence? The plan would save the departments from layoffs.
From layoffs. Sorry.
See, this is why
you bite the bullet too.
These people in academia who have way too much influence on the upcoming, all these different generations of students that go through it are unfit sometimes, most of the time, to be those people because of this kind of selfish crap. You guys have been when you get into the university system, that's like being, this is like, I have a friend of mine who's trying to get a job at the U of A, right? Over the last 6 months. And I keep telling her, I said, look, just keep working on it. Cause once you get into a university, it's like getting into the mob. It's like getting into the mob because what happens is even if you go to move to another state, they say, oh, you worked at the U of A.
Yeah.
You got a great chance of moving into their system too. So the idea that when these people at the U of A are crying about their money.
Yeah.
I have to say this in the nicest way possible. You know, sometimes when you say things in an English accent, it sounds classier.
Okay.
Excuse me. Kiss my ass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bite this.
This hour of Wake Up Tucson brought to you by CapcoAZ.com, Central Arizona Block, making amazing manufacturing masonry products and selling it directly to you, the consumer, making your walls bigger, better than ever. Let's go to the mailbag. We're going to get into the City of Tucson police soon. This is from listener Adam. Glad you had a great vacation up north. I was in Williams the past weekend. It was great to be in reality. What can we do to get Lord Ducey to back off these restrictions? I'm tired of this guy moving the goalpost. He's afraid of his own shadow. Thank you, listener Adam. Well, I think the Mountainside Fitness guy got his attention with the lawsuit. And then this is from listener Luke. As you continue to show the spike in AZ coronaviruses is a myth perpetrated by the media in cooperation with various Dems and leftist health officials. Your brother Joe's desire to see President Trump come out full bore to lay lay some of this pandemic fear. Fear-demic, I like that BS to rest, is not a realistic hope for the reason that it's a matter of strategy, that is more likely such an effort will happen later in the campaign at the time Trump expects it to have the most impact on the election. However, that does not explain the failure of our useless governor to defend our state's opening by at least making regular public announcements to keep the record straight, as you are doing on a much smaller and less significant scale. When I refer to Governor Ducey as useless, it's based on his own actions and his own, in this case, inaction. Remember, this is the guy who forced the legislature to give teachers pay increases in answer to an illegal strike by those same teachers, and who called the increases, and the vehicle registration fee of over 200% a non-tax, so he can bypass the need of the legislature to approve this increase to the state coffers. If you have a better explanation of the governor's refusal to set the record straight on this important corona spike nonsense, I'd sure like to hear it. I think I've kind of been doing it. So, when we come back, DeSimone is going to quote from Steve Kozacik, for God's sakes.
The Book of Steve.
Based, because, I mean, this guy just keeps sending out these useless newsletters with way too much stuff. Remember, to work at Steve's office, you don't have to have any experience, you know, doing any sort of working with people or government knowledge. You just have to be an editor for a newspaper or a book company to edit his enlightened newsletters. But we're going to get into this Tucson police thing. And Lane Santa Cruz, don't think I have forgotten about you, because I haven't. So, Yngwie Malmsteen.
What? Is this pig Latin? Yngwie Malmsteen?
He's Swedish. Stop being such a close-minded anti-Swede. He did an album called Inspiration. This is his take. This goes out to Phil over at Farewell Bikes. It's called Carry On, My Wayward Son. Wake up.
Florence Ballard of the Supremes. Her birthday today, man. Wouldn't have been his Supremes without the other two. You know that. Go flow.
The other two don't get enough credit, is what I say.
Exactly. So there you go.
Hi.
Morning.
Hi there. So let's get into this Tucson TPD thing. Now, well, the other thing, another date we have to find out in the timeline, right? We know Magnus knew on the 22nd. Rahina says she knew on the 17th. Okay? The other question is, where is Mike Ortega in this? Here's another date to find out. When did Mike Ortega find out that this man died?
2 months earlier.
That whole thing. So that's another question. I know Mike's a nice guy and he's a smart guy, but he's an accountant kind of guy. He's that kind of guy. He just kind of keeps score and recommends things to these seven special humans. But it's important, right? If he's really Magnus's boss, when did he know? Now, the other thing is, remember, Magnus cleared these guys and sent them back to duty. So when did the interest in going after the cops again come up? Right? We only heard of this guy's lawyer since the video. There was no lawyer before this. You didn't hear this lawyer in the TV news saying this happened or the outrage. Right? So then, remember, Magnus gets rid of the two investigators. Oh, he actually crapped on them. The two investigators who were Lieutenant Peterson and I forgot the other one's name, who were experienced. Oh, guess what they did before? They were retired, these two lieutenants. They did internal affairs investigations. So two experienced IA guys go in and do this thing, and the chief made the decision to clear them and send them back to duty. Not administrative leave, not send them back to a desk job for a few weeks. He sent them right back into duty. Then we hear they got two new investigators that aren't named in the Carol Analamo piece, which is interesting. I don't know if I don't think they told him who it was, because Carol Ann did name the previous two investigators who did the first investigation on the three TPD guys. So now all of a sudden we got this cooking. So here's the question is, what date did Chris Magnus and Silva, his assistant chief, who is not even a cop, who's his buddy, who's in charge of internal affairs, when did they order the new investigation? Because I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was 3 days after George Floyd's murder. something's rotten in the state of Denmark, as we say in Hamlet. Now, so I put this up. Remember the guy, Ed, who died calling 911?
Yep. Yep.
So his name is Andrew Gallardo. Okay?
Okay.
Andrew Gallardo Sr. And I found a GoFundMe that started a month after he died. It only raised $2,000, but it was, and it said, Andrew I. Gallardo Sr., a father, godfather, brother, and son. He was an energetic soul, always a smile on his face and a gleam in his eye. We will miss him greatly. Remember they keep saying, say his name? Well, I'm going to say Andrew's name, and I put a picture, I found a picture of him.
Oh my gosh.
This is the guy that Rahina Romero.
Wow.
Chris Magnus.
Nice young man.
Remember Lane Santa Cruz worked in that Ward 1 office when this guy died.
Oh yeah.
She was working in that office when this guy died three blocks from it. So this is what I put. So last year, 55-year-old father Andrew Gallardo calls 911 about a guy at his house threatening him about three blocks from the Ward 1 office. CPD shows up 90 minutes later and finds him dead. Not a peep from any of the city council or the chief. Mm-mm. No vigils. No hashtags. No Lane Santa Cruz social posts. No nothing. No outrage. Nothing. Now, naked coked out guy with domestic violence arrest order who dies as police are trying to control him gets vigils and lots of outrage. Lesson. If you die in the presence of police, your past transgressions are exonerated and Rahina will weep for you. If you're a person with no criminal record and not drugged up and you die after an understaffed TPD doesn't show up to help you, you are totally ignored by Queen Rahina, Lane Santa Cruz, and the chief. That's the lesson we learned. And Andrew Gallardo selective outrage. And Andrew Gallardo lived at the 100 South block of Convent Avenue off of Congress.
That would be close to the police station, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, in her office, right?
Yes.
And he's supposedly part of that Hispanic population that Raul Grijalva, Rahina Romero, and Adelita Grijalva says that they're there to make their lives better.
Supposedly.
So I'm telling you, this is how twisted the mayor is. She's in over her head, and the selected outrage stuff is absolutely pathetic. So let's get
to... Somebody's got to call her out, folks.
Someone got pissed off at me because they said that because this guy died at the hands of police, and she was all pissed off, man. She was just angry young lady. It happens. So now... Let's get to, so one of my questions is yesterday from this police thing is how did the 911 call go down with this guy's Nana? Right? Because they keep saying, oh, he cried for his Nana. He cried for his Nana. They should have helped him. Let's see how much Nana was digging, hanging out with this guy. Okay. Now, of course, what's amazing is I was talking to a police officer yesterday who heard the 911 call. Oh. And now remember, communications is now its own department, so it does communication 911 for cops, fire, and everything else. It's its own department that's not under TPD. So when Gallardo got killed, Mr. Gallardo got killed, and we heard who did it? Carly Tinsley or Hina Titi over at KULD did some great reporting on that. I'll find it out. And we listened on the air. We listened to that 911 call, and you could tell the communications person was an absolutely couldn't, like, why are you bothering calling me? No compassion, no nothing. Well, this is what I'm hearing. First of all, English, supposedly the person who picked up they had no one who could speak Spanish. Don't worry about it. It's a call for me. Ed hears the phone ringing, someone's office. Anyway, so supposedly they didn't have anyone who spoke Spanish at 911.
That's not good.
So you got that going on. You know, when most of us, when sometimes we meet someone who speaks a different language, we all smile at each other very nice and nod our head. You can't do that on a 911 call. So let's go to Steve Kozacik's newsletter. Who knew there'd be something useful here? The place was I listened to the 911 call that listened to, right up to the incident. The call was placed at after 1 a.m. by the mom's 66-year-old grandmother. She was distraught to the point that it was difficult for the operator to understand whatever. The incident took place in her home because, according to the grandma, he had not been allowed to stay the night with any other family members. She continually cried out that he was crazy and on drugs. Nana tried to leave, and he blocked her exit.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear this part.
Correct. Translation. How disgusting. How disgusting. Tell her you're drugged, son. There's nothing. Tell her you're drugged. Let me get out of my house. I want to get out of my house. She at various times said she was scared and that he was hurting her. Hello? Please, lady, but for me, please. Okay, ma'am, I need you to talk to me, okay? I need you to stay on the phone and talk to me. Can you do that? Yeah, you need to talk with me. No talk. He's crazy. Okay, I understand. That's what you said. He's going crazy. I need to know what he's doing. Oh, okay. He's violence. Violence. You understand? You understand me or no? No, I'm sorry.
No? The answer was no?
I'm sorry. That's from the...
What do you mean you don't understand?
This is comms. And then the last answer from the lady. I'm scared. I'm scared. Yo tengo miedo, which I have fear. I'm an old lady. I'm having 66 years old. So the nana that Lane Santa Cruz and he cried for his nana. Nana wanted to get the hell out of there. This guy was so coked up and crazy. She wanted to leave the house and he wouldn't let her. She kept on saying the word violence, screaming it to the 911 person. Remember, so here's a line again. This is what this woman said. I need you to talk to me. He's crazy. I want to get out of this house. Let me get out of my house. I want to get out of my house. And so this is so then TPD shows up, these guys, to this situation.
Yeah.
No, Nana did not want to see her grandson die. I'm not saying that. No, what I'm saying is Nana wanted to get the hell out of there.
She knew what she was dealing with.
And then what it sounds like is none of the other family members wanted him at the house. So he ended up at Nana's. When we come back, Steve Kozacik shares the drug report on this guy who everyone wants to, Rahina and Lane want to turn into a saint. So let's talk about that when we come back, because these numbers, yikes. Oh, no.
Pantera. What's his name? You know him.
And yes, we are still waiting for the police body cam of Lane Santa Cruz yelling at the police.
Yes, we are.
We can't get that, but we can show everyone this one. Wake up. 7:35 in the morning. Yngwie Malmsteen, Swedish guitar. My boy Mark, who's one of the best photographers in San Diego, went to school with me in NAU. He played the Rising Force album by this guy at least once a day.
Oh, my gosh.
As we like to say, Yngwie, very talented guitarist. He would cram as many notes as humanly possible in a 2-minute, 43-minute song. Like, you would never believe how many notes he can jam in a song. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson Show. This hour brought to you by Cabco AZ, Central Arizona Block, CabcoAZ.com. Sad to say, a tradition ends on... Well, first of all, no fireworks at all. Miranda's done. They just announced they're not doing fireworks.
Okay.
And then the other part is that Charles Heller's
movie, 4th of July movie,
that's over too. So that's not happening. So thanks, Ducey. Now we got to get back to, we're talking about this police situation. with the TPD officers. And I'm doing a semi-dramatic reading from Steve Kay's newsletter. And he actually has a translation and partial transcription of a 12-minute call, 12 minutes of the naked, coked-up guy's Nana that everyone keeps. And you know, the thing is, Nana gets no sympathy from the Democrats on this one. Like, she had to live with it. She wanted to escape from her house, for God's sakes, because this guy was so coked up and crazy. So let's get to how coked up was he, Chris?
You're burning me up with just what you just said.
Which part?
Mama doesn't get no. Nana doesn't get the love. Okay. Nana's 66 years old, okay?
Right.
This kid is, I don't know what, 30. Who's the activist here? The 20, 30-year-olds, okay?
Right.
Who's got respect for their elders? Not them, damn it.
So Steve Kay...
All they want to do is protest.
Steve Kay is... He doesn't know... I try to stay away from his words because he's so stupid sometimes. Smart... He's the smartest stupid guy in Tucson sometimes, Steve Kay. So after he kind of criticized the officer, he says, "Yet this is the lab report of the man," and he puts dash, "Grandma was right." Okay, so they tested him for volatiles, meth, barbiturates, benzo, blah, 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 cannabinoids, hallucinogens, muscle relaxants, opioid analgesics that all showed up negative. But cocaine and benzoylecgonine. Mm-hmm. You say, "Chris, what is benzoyl? It is the major metabolite for cocaine, meaning it's what's formed as cocaine is processed by your body. When someone's tested for cocaine, testers are looking for signs of benzoylecgonine." So that's what it is. So now what's really interesting in Steve's thing, on the right it says reporting limit. I don't know. So it says 50, but his benzoylecgonine was 7,468 and cocaine was 628, which sounds extremely high.
Sounds it.
I do share, this is Steve's words, I do share it because I think these kind of details are not part of the media coverage.
That would be work. That would be somebody would actually have to ask these questions instead of standing in front of me.
So we have a
board.
We have a listener she's a retired newspaper editor from back east who listens to the show, and she's very honest about her. What do you call it? About news coverage around here.
Okay.
So she said, "Good stuff." This is from referencing yesterday's show. She said, "Good stuff on Magnus this morning. I think the cops were railroaded, though they might have broken. They did break protocol. I happened to be having lunch with a high-ranking Pima County sheriff guy who works in Tucson when this press conference was going on. He said not turning the guy on his side was a no-no in any situation, but did that kill him? He said they have no way of knowing. The New York Times and the one story I read from them on this case downplayed the drug use, which is really unfortunate."
Well, that's what came out of this town. That was the story they wanted to come out of this town, so the New York Times just picked it up and ran with it. That wasn't reporting by the Times either. It was just taking a story and not digging.
I love this one. "Many of us are grateful," this is Steve's words, "for city manager not for rejecting Magnus's offer to resign. All of us are going to work with Chris and his team to improve what took place in this incident." Well, right there, that's a loser line right there, right? So there is a to me, it looks like we have a redo of the original justice. McCluskey says it's a version of Double Jeopardy, which it is, because the guys were already cleared. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then we got to find out the date of when did Ortega know? Very important, right? And I love with Steve's very grateful that the city manager rejected Magnus's offer. There was at least four people on the council who told Ortega to not accept his resignation,
right?
Or Ortega goes away. hey, Ortega, he's not going anywhere, man. He likes his job. They're not pushing him too hard. And he's making, what, 200 Gs maybe? 175? Probably 200 Gs. Maybe at least 200 Gs. So where's he going? What's he going to do? He's gonna die on the Chris Magnus Hill for that job? Mm-hmm. That ain't going to happen. So I think there is definitely there is I don't want to say the word cover up, but there's definitely, this is what they say, transparency. There's no transparency at all, right? You have a police chief who's isolated from the rest. It's him and his crew versus the rank and file, is my take on what's going on at TPD. Remember when I told you he was hired to represent the council and not the cops?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's a bigger advocate for Rahina and Lane Santa Cruz than he is for the cops.
He's never been a Blue Lives Matter guy at all.
Correct.
Never. In San Francisco or here.
And someone just told me that one of the night sergeants actually already just quit in the last 48 hours. And what should have happened is Rahina's not going to resign. She should be recalled. They should look into a recall. I know people are going to, but that's something out there. But Magnus should resign. He should have resigned, and he should have. Is that one of the? So it's, there's two things, Chris Magnus. You can. This is why it's bullcrap, right? This is why it was a little. This is a little dog and pony show they put on for you suckers.
Absolutely.
Okay. And there's idiots like Stellar, Dylan, and Jim Nintzel who eat it up and then regurgitate it. When someone says, "I'm offering up my resignation for you to accept or resign," he already knows it's going to get it's going to get not accepted. If Chris Magnus had any integrity, he just should have resigned, which is, I quit. The moment I heard him say, oh, I'm offering up my resignation and you guys can keep it or get rid of it, right?
It's an offering.
It's bullcrap. He should have resigned. What you guys don't understand is Tucson is going to be less safe than more than ever now. Do you get it? You're going to have more cops quit. You're going to have less cops that want to be a cop at TPD, right? We have idiots like Adelita Grijalva and Crystal Foster saying pull every school resource officer out of some of these school, these TUSD schools, because cops are scary. Remember it was just 2 years ago, the gun control nuts were saying we need a cop in every school because of the Parkland shooting in Florida. Remember, if you don't put a cop in a school, you hate children. Remember that? Now, because the political rhetoric has changed, now all cops are scary, and it's better that your kids get killed by a mass shooter than to have a scary cop in there. Do you understand how insane that is? Tucson's going to be less safe. That's where you're at. That's it. I mean, for God's
sake. How could it get any better? They're not going to hire any more cops. They have the same police chief. They have the same people running the city. Do you expect it to get any better? When? How?
Well, and then
not going to happen.
Then the other big thing at Alexander, which we brought up yesterday, some TPD people were bringing up, is that the experienced men and women are leaving.
Yeah.
Right? So now we have more rookies out there. So what's the average term of service for a TPD officer on these various shifts, right? That's another problem. So when a sergeant who has at least some sort of years under his belt, he's now quitting a couple of days ago, right? That's one less veteran on the night shift in all of these dangerous areas. So if you think Tucson, again, you guys, you get what you voted for. You got what you all of you people who turned the other eye, turn your eyes away from the dirty money that was coming in, the $1.5 million independent expenditure money to slam Rahina down your throat while she was bullcrapping you saying she was a clean elections candidate. Do you remember that? You guys forgot that, right? Do you remember how Rahina Romero took Steve Farley, who was a Democrat legislator for 12 years, who carried their water at the legislature all the time? He was their go-to guy. He was a minority leader up in the Senate. right? Do you see what they did to him? They made him look like he was a criminal on those independent expenditures. And Rahina's like, I have nothing to do with that. I'm a clean candidate. Well, this is what you get. You have a mayor now that does not condemn violence in the streets. She did not condemn the people who broke all of the Flores family windows at the Charro restaurants downtown.
Nope. Or any other restaurants downtown.
Right.
Or any of the stores. I mean, there was a lot of broken glass.
They didn't condemn any of those people who did that.
Nope. They put up a sign.
So when Rahina Romero, a couple of years from now, goes, oh, why are sales tax revenues down? What do you think? 7:47 in the morning. When we come back, we're going to talk about this guy and his wife in St. Louis who came out with his AR-15 to say hello to some protesters going down the street. You know something? We're only human. That's what I say. That's so deep, baby.
I love it.
Love's like oxygen, man.
Oh, man, give me more. Okay. Well, the phones are going crazy over here. You go talk, okay?
Remember when you said it couldn't get any worse? Remember, they just ripped off the puppies at the puppy place yesterday.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
That's when you said that.
Right.
There it is.
Think cops going to come? There are no cops. Not the cops that care about puppies. There are no cops to come.
Go take your phone calls. 790-2040 is the phone number. This is Julio Rosas on townhall.com. Mainstream media leaves out important context of couple defending their property from trespassers. Now, the memes of this guy has been amazing. He's wearing his beautiful khaki pants, his pink golf shirt, and he's got his AR-15 with his wife holding a little pistol that she looks like she's never held in her life. But tweets from the mainstream media about this St. Louis couple who warded off a group of protesters with firearms after they entered their private property leave out a critical aspect of the incident. They entered private property and were not on city sidewalks. Videos from the encounter went viral Sunday evening show a man armed with an AR-15 and a woman armed with a handgun telling the protesters to exit the property after they broke through the gate leading to a private street. The signs were also posted telling people not to trespass. So then you have the people who did their little tweet videos of it, and then CBS News comes in and says this white couple pointed guns at protesters passing their mansion in St. Louis. The group was marching towards the home of the city mayor to demand her resignation. ABC News. I love how they say the white couple. But they don't explain that the group that was going was a mix of all varieties of people, so I don't know. A couple pointed guns at protesters in St. Louis as the group marched toward the mayor's home. Washington Post, St. Louis couple points guns at peaceful crowd of protesters calling for the mayor to resign. Only ABC News reported how the police were viewing the cases as trespassing. They broke through the gate to a private community that had no public streets or sidewalks. That was not in the initial news reports by CBS News and the Washington Post that they busted in. They broke the gate to get in. Mark McCluskey, I want to say McCluskey, this guy could be related to R. McCluskey, quote, this is all private property. There are no public sidewalks or public streets. We are told we would be killed, our home burned, and our dog killed. We were all alone facing an angry mob. Unquote. Mark McCluskey told KMOV-TV in St. Louis. Now, it gets even funner. Okay? This is from Vespa over on Town Hall. Interesting twist concerning the St. Louis couple who defended their house. The property belonged to Patricia and Mark McCluskey, who came out with firearms to deter lefty agitators from their premises. He had his AR-15, which I'm sure triggered liberal America. This was a case of self-defense. To make things more interesting, the McCluskeys are actually supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement. The lefty mob was marching on the house of the mayor, a Democrat, after she released the names and addresses of locals who... Oh, you're going to love this. She took the names of people and their addresses of the people who said they wanted to defund the police department and made it public. So that's why these people were coming to her house. So it turns out that the people, the gun-toting couple that were getting these people who were being threatened with their lives, killing their dog and burning their house, supports Black Lives Matter and are Democrats. And they are actually currently, because they're attorneys, they're currently representing a victim of police brutality. So the mainstream media wanted to show that these two are rich white people who wanted these people of color away from their homes. That was the narrative that wanted to be sold by the Washington Post and CBS News. But what it turns out to be is they're two white Democrats who support Black Lives Matter, write lots of checks to Democrats, and are attorneys representing a victim of police brutality. I can't believe no one wants to believe the press anymore.
Yeah. That's why I don't watch. Don't, man.
I just told a good friend of mine today who is, you know, she's very emotional and she goes on her, you know, the news and Facebook. And I just told her today, just deactivate your Facebook, please. There's not much good there anymore. If you really want to, again, that's why I know Allie Miller moved over to something called Parler, P-A-R-L-O-R. Don't know anything about that. We've had my buddy Elaine Beck, who does that Blessings Through Action, which is a Christian social media thing, trying to move people off of that onto get away from Facebook and some of these things over there. But the idea, I just love this story. First of all, watching this kind of guy who's not really in shape with his bright pink gun, AR-15, defending his house is just gold. It's just gold. And the idea that he's a Black Lives Matter supporting Democrat, that the press wanted to just destroy him and his wife about this,
sure,
is even better. I can't ask for the press to act stupider and stupider. It just gets better and better and better. When we come back, we got an interview we're going to do, an author interview, and then with Julie Collazo, and then we're going to come back. We're also going to do the, I know Ed's going to fall off his seat. It's a story about the Ed's friends at the CDC.
Hmm. Down there in Atlanta somewhere. They're on top of it.
They're on top of something.
Yeah, they started this thing. Them and the WHO. The WHO started the WHO flu, though I can't talk about. But.
The CDC acknowledges mixing up coronavirus testing data.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well.
That's your new one.
Oh, well. But there were no deaths yesterday. But
I will do.
We shall all panic.
I'm going to do the math word problem later this afternoon when I get back to my office. I'll give you that number. I will work out the net deaths on COVID by tomorrow. So, wake up, Tucson. 10:30. The Voice.
The southeast corner of the Catalinas round Reddington Road is in go evacuate mode right now.